You know, if we had been drinking out of the toilet, we could have been killed. Let's grab a bowl of New England clam chowder, and we'll do our best to figure out if that's the red or the white. And good news, Captain, we do have the power on this all-new episode. Alrighty then, welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the radical decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us, because you're about to have an awesome time. And for all our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a guy who likes to ask way too many questions. It's my good friend, Rob.
Do you have a mint?
You could use one.
Possibly some banaca.
That is correct.
Anyway, hey, occasionally Dave and I receive letters requesting advice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Up to this point, for obvious reasons, Dave and I try to avoid giving our opinion on these letters that we receive.
Even though we give our opinion all the time.
I know. But yes. I thought we'd get brave and answer one of our recent letters. This is Cher from Beverly Hills, California. She writes, I have an upcoming assignment for my debate class. The topic question is, should all oppressed people be allowed refuge in America? I have the pro position for this debate. Could you guys help me with my stance on this controversial topic? Well, Cher, you are correct that this is a very hot button topic. With that being said, I will give you this little nugget to get the old juices flowing. So, okay, like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America, but some people are all, what about the strain on our resources? But it's like when I had this garden party for my father's birthday, right? I said RSVP because it was a sit-down dinner, but people came that like did not RSVP, so I was like totally bugging. I had to haul ass to the kitchen, redistribute the food, squish in extra play settings, but by the end of the day, it was like the more the merrier. And so if the government could just get to the kitchen, rearrange some things, we could certainly party with the Haitians. And in conclusion, may I please remind you that it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty. Thank you very much.
It doesn't.
I hope this helps you, Sharon. I hope it helps you begin making awkward but sincere efforts to live a more purposeful life. And today's advice section was sponsored by the Pismo Beach Disaster Relief Effort.
Ah, yes. Yeah. My favorite part of that opening is how seamlessly you say buggin. It sounds so natural.
It's part of my language.
It's perfect. It's
how I talk.
Yeah, it's great. So, well.
Thank you, Cher from Beverly Hills, California.
Yeah, Cher. I like that she's a longtime consistent listener, apparently. Yeah, yeah. Enough to send us information.
That's right.
And or a question. So,
And I hope she does well on her debate.
Well, we're not all by herself today. Joining us fittingly for today's topic, hopefully with a clean pair of shorts, it is the Recall Movie Hound. Welcome back to the studio, Kurt.
Thank you for having me. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys are real friendly around here. Yay, I got applause. Thank you. You know
what's funny is we did a little like pre-show organization, Rob and I, and he still didn't time it right.
Wait, was not supposed to be after I speak?
Well, he told Kip. He didn't give Kip the timing on that. We'll get it next time, folks.
The boys were distracting Kip.
Don't make promises.
All right. Don't make promises.
Well, thank you for having me anyways.
Always. Hey, Rob, just a little nugget. So we've all known each other a long time, but every now and again, Kurt and I have a little conversation and I learn new things.
Oh, no.
So I like to share these things with you. So as we were talking, just having, you know, normal conversation, I found out today that Kurt has a very wet mouth.
I don't.
So I just wanted you to know that, so everybody knows that. But he shared that fully on his own. I didn't come to that conclusion.
What does that mean?
He said out loud he has a very wet mouth.
What does that mean?
It just came up in natural conversation.
General, we were having a normal conversation, and that came up.
But what does it mean?
I mean,
that you have a wet mouth.
My mouth is wet.
It's moist than most. It's got some
moistness inside.
How do you know that?
Is this
like a diagnosis?
It seems like the amount of moisture in there is enough to realize that most other people don't have that much.
David was complaining that he had a dry mouth, and I said mine's moist most of the time.
There you go.
Okay. I don't even know what to say to that.
Do you feel better now?
That worked perfectly. I kind of feel worse for knowing that.
Okay.
Now, what would you say you have, Rob? Dry mouth? Moist mouth?
I don't know. I don't know that I've ever thought about the level of moisture in between.
Well, here's what you should do. After the show, test out some of your saliva, and you get back to us and let us know what level of moisture you think you are having.
Now I want to know.
Well, something. Ask your wife. Maybe she'll know.
Well,
there you go.
She probably won't.
Maybe she'll know the moisture level. So, well, Rob, if the fans at home,
too intimate.
If the fans at home have not figured out already from several different hints, what topic are we covering for today's show?
We are talking about Ace Ventura: Pet Detective. It's the 30-year anniversary, by the way.
Wow, 30 years, Rob. How does that make you feel?
Every time we talk about something that's
30 years old.
I clearly remember watching, and then we find out it's 30 years old. You don't feel better about yourself?
Oh, okay.
No, I don't like it.
I don't like it at all.
But you've become wiser.
I'm on the verge of a midlife crisis,
I think. That's okay.
Midlife, like you haven't already passed
that. I'm in the middle. Well, yeah, that's true, right? If I live to be, what, 93?
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah.
All right.
Well, for both of you, 30 years ago, what do you remember about this movie, and when do you remember seeing it for the first time?
Oh my gosh, 94, that would have been what, like my sophomore-ish year. So, gosh, I don't remember. I probably saw it with you.
Yeah, we saw it in the theater.
Did we see it in the theater?
We saw it at that theater that Mike worked at. He got us in.
Southgate.
Southgate. That's right. Southgate. It doesn't exist anymore.
No.
It was there. So that's where we saw it.
I was trying to think of how to describe this movie in my life, but I kind of remember it being the first movie that had the humor that I found really funny.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was that really stupid, humor that became kind of the norm right now. Yeah. Now you've got, you know, the Will Ferrells and the Adam Sandlers and all that kind of just moronic
before humor. Before this, the humor was too smart for you.
Well, I just don't think you had, you know,
There wasn't really another Jim Carrey floating around.
No. So I just remember thinking this movie was, so I still think it's really funny. So.
Was it The Bomb?
Yeah. TheBomb.com.
There you go.
Yes.
Go. What about you, Kurt?
I would say I was in, eighth grade.
Perfect time to see it.
I probably did not see it in the theater, but I lived right next to Blockbuster Video.
Perfect.
So I'd go across the street on new release day, go get it. So I remember this movie.
Did they have enough copies?
They always had enough copies. I'd get there early.
Okay. For the good ones.
Yes.
I would sometimes have to go hang out by the return bin.
Oh, I've done that.
And ask the clerk, hey, have you gotten this returned? And they would always give you the dirty look, but they would have to go search.
Go check, yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I remember it changed my world.
It changed my world.
This may shock you, but I was kind of an awkward skinny little child.
None of us were.
And this gave me hope for awkward, skinny people. Children. So Jim Carrey became one of my favorite actors. And I would, as a 12-year-old, I would wander around my house doing Jim
impressions?
Carrey.
Yes. Nice.
That's a really good point, because I think that's true. I think that movie did do that. It did exactly what you said. It gave credence to
goofy people.
Goofy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, even this morning, I put on this lovely Hawaiian shirt to go Ace Ventura. No, and I started walking around like Jim Carrey in the movie. So
you should always walk around.
My wife just looked at me and said, nope, turned back around and walked away.
No.
I would think she would appreciate it, you know.
This is one of those movies that when I was watching it to get ready, my kids would walk into the room and there were things that he said in the movie and they looked at me and they went, Dad, like, oh, this is where you got that at.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Because same thing with like when they watched Anchorman with me for the first time. They were like, Dad, half of this movie is things you say all the time. And so then like my shtick was up. They figured out where, you know, when I'd say hungry fella.
Hungry
fella. They're like, this is where you got that from. Yeah. I say it all the time.
So. Well, I like that you specified the Jim Carrey part because I thought you were saying that you wanted to grow up to be a pet detective.
Well, that too.
It's just the Jim Carrey part.
But I never wanted to fall into a vat with a great white shark.
By the way, we just did a gee whiz dive, my son and I, Connor, the other night, when we were watching this last night. And Pet Detective is actually something you can go online and find now. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if prior to this movie, there were actual pet detectives.
There were.
This spawned like... People are like, oh, that's a job I could actually.
Jim Carrey actually went and hung out with other pet detectives to see how they did their work.
I didn't know it was an actual job. I thought it was supposed to be silly.
Maybe not in Milwaukee. They probably didn't have them, but Miami had them.
Yeah.
That's funny.
If cats and dogs go missing in Milwaukee, they're just gone.
They're in a ditch somewhere.
You put up a poster and then you go home. That's it. That's the whole thing. So
that's funny.
All right. Well, with Captain Steubing's permission, we will all climb aboard and avoid digging our guns into anyone's hips as we're heading down to Miami to solve crimes with Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You know, there's a scenario that I don't think I've ever listened to that Aerosmith song outside of the movie. So,
well, and I have to be honest, when I was pulling it, I didn't realize it was on Get a Grip.
It is.
And I like the album a lot. I
love that album.
I have it. I own it. I never know.
Never. Didn't. Well, if you like Totally 80s and 90s Recall, and come on, who doesn't? Take a second, if you haven't already done so, hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. Also, take another second, and yes, I realize that's 2 seconds. We're now asking for, but find the time and share it with one friend that loves the 80s and 90s. And we promise you will avoid being a loo-hoo-zer-her. So before we begin reliving this week's action-packed comedy, we like to give you, the listeners, the important info about the movie. And for that, we toss it over to the one and only Hound.
All righty. I am sorry it's me again, but yes, here I go. Like Rob said, this year is the 30th anniversary of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, as it was released February 4th, 1994. This movie jump-started Jim Carrey's leading man movie career. It also stars a pre-Friends Courtney Cox, as well as Sean Young, Tone Loke, and Dan Marino. There's also a special appearance from the band Cannibal Corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Ventura has a Rotten Tomato score of only 48% from critics and 57% from audiences.
Tough number.
Because I'm shocked by it so low because my love for the movie.
It is.
I was shocked that it was so low.
Yeah.
It was.
Especially the audience one.
Yeah.
The movie had made on a budget of only $15 million and made over $107 million, so made quite a bit of money for what they put into it. The film was directed by Tom Shadyac, who later directed movies like Nutty Professor, Liar Liar, Patch Adams, and Bruce Almighty.
Patch Adams.
That's right.
Good one.
Shadyac also wrote the screenplay with Jack Bernstein and Jim Carrey. All right, now, Rob, now that I've given you the who, the what, the where, and how much about this movie, can you please give the listener some information about what this movie is about before David bends over and begins to ask us a few questions?
Oh, well done.
Good transition.
I like that. That was good.
He's getting so much better.
He is. Yeah, yeah, he's really coming out of his shell.
I try.
No. That's right. So this is a little segment I like to call Back of the Box.
You need a button for that.
I got a box back there. Yeah. You just read it.
There you go.
So if you were to go back to your video picking days, you go to the video store and it's available.
Yes.
You pull it out and you read the back. Nora Fraser from The Home Show called it hilarious.
I like her.
Rita Kempley from the Washington Post called it a riot from start to finish.
Beautiful.
And Jules Pemmer from WNWK Radio says a perfect comedy.
WNKN.
Then right? It says he's the perfect? Best.
Perfect.
He's the best there is.
Ooh.
In fact, he's the only one there is. He's Ace Ventura, Pet Detective Jim Carrey in Living Color, is on the case to find the Miami Dolphins missing mascot and quarterback Dan Marino. He goes eyeball to eyeball with a man-eating shark, stakes out the Miami Dolphins, and woos and wows the ladies. Whether he's undercover, under fire, or underwater, he's always gets his man or beast. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So
makes me want to rent it.
That is. Yeah. Did you rent it?
I probably did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, for your prep for this show, did you rent it?
You know,
or do you own it?
No. Here's the interesting thing. I found it online.
Oh.
I mean, it was streaming for free.
It was.
I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to watch it again, no longer for free.
That is correct. They pulled it off. Same thing happened to us. So, but I do own it. I do own it.
So, yeah. I had to watch it with commercials.
Ooh.
But, that's all right.
Who does that?
Who suffers?
I know that was weird. That was weird. It gave me time to write notes in between.
So, yeah. Well, now that we know a little bit about the movie, we're going to do something a little different, something new, and we're going to roll just for going down memory lane. We're going to roll the original theatrical trailer.
Ooh.
They faced incredible odds and unbeatable enemies to earn the name Hero. But now there's a new way to spell action. Jim Carrey is Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. He's the best there is.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Pet Detective.
Actually, he's the only one there is.
You really love animals, don't you?
If it gets cold enough.
Now, the mascot of the Miami Dolphins has been kidnapped.
Alrighty then.
And he's on the case of a lifetime.
Listen, pet dick. How would you like me to make your life a living hell?
Well, I'm not really ready for a relationship, Lois.
There's no place he won't go.
Captain's log, Stardate 23.9.
Ace, get out of the tank.
I just can't do it, Captain. I didn't have the power.
Nothing he won't do. And no one he can't handle.
Hey!
If you do anything to embarrass me in front of camp.
What? Like this?
Hi, Captain Steubing.
Because when this pet detective gets the scent...
Where's Dan Marino?
Hi, I'm Dan Marino.
Marino, why?
Because he's about to join Snowflake.
He'll follow it anywhere.
Here, Snowflake.
Jim Carrey is...
Do not go in there.
Woo! Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that definitely takes us down. Oh, memory lane. That's a great trailer. You know what I miss about trailers? I was telling my wife this the other night. So we pulled this trailer and the way they do trailers nowadays, I've watched some new ones. Mm-hmm. They just take clips from the movies and put it together with music, kind of like they did at the end of that. But there's no more movie trailer guy. There's the voiceover. They don't do that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. I think there was only one guy for a long time, but then there were multiple guys, mm-hmm. but there's no more of that this summer.
Yeah.
You know, the world is blowing up. So I kind of missed that a little bit. So
wasn't there a channel that was just trailers?
It was on one of the channels, but they did a 30-minute just trailers.
Yeah. 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 I remember that was fun.
Anyone who hasn't seen that trailer in a long time, at the beginning, they liken Jim Carrey's character, Ace Ventura, to Rambo, Terminator, and James Bond. So good company.
Perfect.
So, well, before we jump in, I got something I'm going to throw upon you. You're not ready for.
Oh, boy.
Watch out.
So this was Jim Carrey's debut movie. All right.
True that.
Debut big movie. Debut
leading man
leading movie. Yeah. He had been in Once Bitten. He had been in
Space Girls.
Earth Girls. Yeah, with Jeff Goldblum. But both small parts.
Yeah.
Right. So Once Bitten a little bigger, but not so. But this is his first leading thing. So, but you alluded to Jim Carrey being great. So I asked, where does Jim Carrey rank for you as a comedian actor in the 90s? Mm-hmm. And before you answer, I just want to throw something out there. This is a 5-year snapshot. Mm-hmm. Starting with this movie. Mm-hmm. And just listen to this 5 years. 94, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, The Mask. 95, Batman Forever, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. 96, The Cable Guy. 97, Liar Liar. 98, The Truman Show. Mm-hmm. Think about that 5 years of movies. I don't know a lot of actors in the 90s can put 5 years like that together. Mm-mm. The only thing I found that you could compare, and you could maybe say close, I've got 5 years of Tom Hanks in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I've got 92 A League of Their Own, 93 Sleepless in Seattle and Philadelphia, mm-hmm. won an Oscar, 94 Forrest Gump won an Oscar, 95 Apollo 13 and Toy Story, and in 96 That Thing You Do. So that was the only 5-year window I could find mm-hmm. where maybe you could say kind of the same success. But mm-hmm. Jim Carrey for that 5 years there, just fire, right?
Well, and I read somewhere that he ended, I believe it was 94, number two, behind Tom Hanks, which is hard to believe that, because in 92, he had The Mask.
No, 94.
Or 94, sorry. Yeah. He had The Mask.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura. And he still finished number two behind Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks had Tom Hanks had some clout built up, though, that mm-hmm. Jim Carrey was just getting. Tom Hanks has several years of big and other movies like that to bank on. So,
No, to answer your question though, I know Jim Carrey is not everybody's favorite
cup of tea.
Yeah.
I like
it. When I was reading like Reddit boards and stuff, people, there's a lot of hate for him.
I think you go either way. Either you like it and it's funny or it gets old and annoying.
Yeah. There wasn't anybody that was kind of middle ground. Like, I can, you know, that either people liked him or hated him. I think he's super talented and I think he ranks up there to the top for me. So
I was gonna say for me in the '90s, he was my favorite starting from In Living Color.
Oh yeah.
Fire Marshal Bill, everything else he did.
Fire Marshal
Bill. I never watched Saturday Night Live. I watched In Living Color. So that was my sketch comedy show. And me being the white child, he was the only one on there that I could say, hey, look at me. I can do that.
Hey, I was also a white child.
Were you?
And I was. And I still like Homie D. Clown. So I don't care.
But I don't think I can pull it off as well.
I think I can. Yeah.
I can pull off some of the Fire Marshal Bills, I couldn't pull off Homie D. Clown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that 5 years was pretty impressive. Tom Hanks is as well. But
yeah.
I think when, as a brand new actor, again, Tom Hanks already had some credit. As brand new, basically in 94, coming in and saying, we're going to star you in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then just that year, if you go look at the box office, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask, the money that made that year set him up for the rest of time or whatever.
So, yeah.
But
no, I enjoy him.
You enjoy him.
I like it. I think it's fun.
So, let's jump into some, we'll talk about a few things before we jump into our categories. I know people look forward to the categories, but we'll just get some information out there. So looking at casting choices first, did you find anything interesting about the cast? Was Jim Carrey the first choice for this movie?
No, he was not.
He was
originally for Rick Moranis.
Wow.
Yeah. Or Judd Nelson. Or even our good friend, Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
I did see that.
Imagine Alan Rickman in this movie, right?
I don't know if I can.
All righty.
Offered it to David Alan Greer.
I got him.
David Alan Greer.
Did you read?
Go ahead.
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
Did you read that?
Did you read?
But he was too old.
Goldberg.
Yep.
And they were going to call it Alice Ventura.
Yeah.
They literally wrote that on script and offered it to her. And
hey, I saw Jumpin' Jack Flash. It was hilarious.
I don't know about that. You know what I like is Rick Moranis turned this down because he was busy with the Flintstones and Little Giants.
Perfect.
What do you think he thinks about that now?
Although this
movie doesn't work with Rick Moranis.
No, it doesn't. Well,
and the original script
might have worked, Jim Carrey came in and put his own spin on it.
I can't even imagine what Rick would have done with it. And I love Rick Moranis. I think he's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see an entire hour and a half of Rick Moranis pulling this off. Yeah, I'm getting at.
None of the ones that were... I even read that they... at one point, this was conceived as a vehicle for Rob Schneider.
Wow. Oh, that would have been awful as well.
But Schneider turned it down.
Good for like 5 minute doses.
What was that movie Schneider was in where he was like a gigolo, right?
Well, yeah.
That would be
Deuce Bigelow.
That would have been this.
What was the one he was in? The Animal or something like that? Where he was
another terrible one.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler turned it down.
Wow.
I read that.
It worked out correctly.
Yeah.
All those other names, I can't even function with. So
no.
I was gonna say they offered it to Lauren Holly and before for Courtney Cox.
Mary Swanson from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
But she said no.
Carrie Ann Moss.
She was filming Picket Fences.
Ooh.
A little show with Tom Skerritt. Nice.
Carrie Ann Moss and Tia Leone were
Tia Leone was hot in the '90s.
Were considered for Melissa's role.
Yeah. So and this was like you said, this is pre Friends Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. So at this time she's just the Bruce Springsteen girl Alex Keaton's girlfriend. That's all she was known for. So you know, I have an interesting
He-Man.
She did.
I like that movie.
Funny, my research did not pull that out. I know she purposely has gone and scrubbed the internet.
Scrubbed the internet.
To say, let's just forget about that situation.
For the He-Man? For He-Man?
For He-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot take her out. She's up there in He-Man.
Or ever.
Her and Dolph.
So, you know what I found interesting was, and this is just my take, I think, but so Sean Young is playing the Lieutenant Einhorn in this movie. I don't know what kind of actress Sean Young is. I really, Blade Runner is the only other thing I can think of her in. I don't really love Blade Runner either. That might be controversial, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all I really know her from. And I'm not saying she's not a good actress. Just in this movie, she's not a good actress. Mm-hmm. Like, she's doing a pretty poor job.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine the auditions that she was the one that stood out. Like, how terrible are all these other auditions that they're like, oh, you're Lieutenant Einhorn. We see it already. Because she is not good in this movie. Her delivery's bad. Everything, I'll talk about it later. But Well, she's not doing a good job. So I just want to be in the auditions where they're like, she stands out. What was the rest of that crew look like? There's just been some like horrible attempts at this.
And I read that that Jim Carrey like vouched for. He wanted her.
Wow.
He sought her and said, yeah. I want.
And I can't think Sean of Young. Anything like there's no movie. You know, when you think of an actress, like a movie comes to mind. Mm-hmm. This is it for me, for mm-hmm. her. But outside of this, I mean, she has other acting credits. I just don't ever think of her in another movie where I'm like, oh, Sean Young.
I was going to say, she seems like the most accomplished actor or actress in the movie beforehand. And you're like, oh, you're watching. You're like, why is she delivering the lines the way she is? Yeah. And
actually, I read that, funny enough, the crew, the director and all them, they said the most famous actor at the time
was Tone Loc.
Because with his popularity for music and everything, everyone else was kind of a side, Sean Young. So maybe Sean Young was bigger in the 80s and they're kind of trying to bring her back. I'm not sure.
Well,
and
I read
she also in one of those spoof movies where they spoof Loaded Weapon or whatever with Sam Jackson.
Oh, I don't know.
I do not know.
I thought she was a female in that too, but I'd have to go check that out. So,
No. And then, you know, multiple times I came across a quote from the director and Jim Carrey, where they both went into this project with they kind of felt like this could ruin their career.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so depending on how it went, you know, wonder if for some of these people, like Sean Young, who, like you said, was at the time maybe a respected actress.
Yeah.
They glommed onto this project
Makes you wonder. Yeah. I have this written down. If you look at it, if you're Jim Carrey, and I think he's even admitted it, if you were to just not pretend you haven't seen the movie and you're a new actor and you read this script. It looks like a dumpster fire. You're like, well, what is going on in this movie? Like the script itself probably wouldn't have read real coherent. And it's like, is this a good movie? Like if Jim Carrey's not in there saving the day on this, is this a good movie? I don't know. Yeah. I think if Rick Moranis is in this, it ends up like the Flintstones and everybody's making fun of it. Right. So,
yeah, well, I heard originally when they were developing the first script, they had like Chevy Chase in mind as well. And when they did the first table read, Jim Carrey read it kind of like Chevy Chase. Yeah. And they're like, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
So the director had thought back to some of Jim's stand-up routines that he did. And he would always come out, how's everybody doing tonight? All righty then.
Yeah.
And he goes, just do that voice. Just do that voice. But all the time. Yeah. And it worked out.
Yeah. So, well, a couple other just side actors or, you know, character actors that I like in the movie. Ray Finkel's mom, her name's Alice Drummond. Sadly, she passed away in 2016. Uh-huh. But I always remember her. She was the librarian in Ghostbusters at the beginning. She just said, he had arms. So I always like her. And Mark Margolis, who plays Mr. Shigadance.
Yes.
In a lot of movies, he's
Satan.
Love that guy. But also RIP 2023. But he often was like a bad mob type guy. He was in Scarface as like a hitman.
And he was my son pointed out when we were watching it. He was in Breaking Bad.
Yep,
he was. That's what my son knew him from.
Breaking Bad.
Done the bell. Bing, 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 bing.
But the director and Jim Carrey wanted him. They went just for him. He was the only one offered this part because they thought his serious face and scowl was perfect complement to Carrey's zany antics.
Right.
You know, so it would be a good offset. And you know, I don't know if he's a great landlord, but he's letting him live there without paying his rent.
Yeah.
And he yells at him. Yeah. So, you know, what are you gonna do? So
that's funny.
But yeah, overall, I think the cast is pretty good. A couple spots, you know, could have been maybe a little better, but overall, not too bad. I like most of the characters they introduce, and most of the actors do good for what they have. Mm-hmm. Again, I would say maybe the script isn't giving them everything they need all the time.
Mm-hmm. One of the actors, the guy he's considered Gruff Man, the beginning where he drops off the package.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy has two black eyes.
Oh, I read this.
I was listening.
Tex Cobb.
Yes. Yeah. Randall Tex Cobb. But Randall showed up to the screening that day with two black eyes, and the director goes, he apparently got him in a couple of bar brawls the days before.
Well, see, what I read was he was doing boxing. Like he was in a boxing match or something, and he got punched in the nose, and that's how he got
it worked perfectly for the character. Then.
It looked right. I mean, everything about it looked right. So, but overall, I think solid cast. So, let's talk about some interesting facts about the movie. Anything you found? I'd like to piggyback on your Fire Marshal Bill Carrie, I saw in an interview, watched it on the YouTube. He said he approached the role as Fire Marshal Bill times 10. So he's like, just crank it up, make it crazy. And that's pretty much what he did.
This isn't in my notes, so I'm going to go. That's scary.
He's going
so
off script.
I'm going off script here. I read something where he met with Jim Carrey, met with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yes.
I read that too. Yep.
And they were talking like
method acting as animals.
Yep. And he modeled it after a bird.
Yep. Jim Carrey was a bird, or a parakeet of some kind.
And then the other one's a reptile.
Yes.
They kind of realized that they had, you know, their method acting was both on animals.
Could you imagine that dinner? Hey, yeah. Anthony, what would they be having to dinner?
What would they be having? It's not chicken and rice like Arnold.
Well, they'd be having fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, and I think it's unfortunate because I think this role, because I think Jim Carrey's more talented than
he is.
What we give him credit or what people give him credit for. Yeah. And I think this role kind of, he took all these kind of zany roles, you know, Dumb and Dumber and Cable Guy. But then some of his serious roles were really, you know, the Truman Show was funny, but it was serious and he did a good job. He did a really good job. So I could see him and Anthony Hopkins sitting down and actually having a probably pretty good killer conversation. Mm-hmm. So
I'd like to hear
that. I think he can hold his own, you know.
That'd be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
I did read that it had a budget of $15 million.
Yep.
Yeah, he told us.
I did.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to read it. But the hound told us.
But did you see what it ended up with? Did you read that?
Yes, he read that. You said that?
Okay.
Where have you been?
Okay.
Sorry. It's part of what I've been told to do.
Are your headphones off when Kurt's talking?
He's got buttons.
Jamie and Christmas.
Perfect.
I saw that Carrie and Steve Odekirk, as star of one of our favorite movies, Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. they would work on the jokes for Ace Ventura from midnight to 4 a.m. after Jim was done filming in Living Color.
Yep.
So they would stay up all night and write the joke when they were rewriting the script once he actually had it. And then I saw that the butt talking actually started on in Living Color. he would do it as a thing to talk to Keenan Ivory Wayans, and Keenan Ivory Wayans would get so mad he would storm out of the room. And he threatened to fire him like 5 times if he didn't stop talking.
He did it because Keenan Ivory Wayans kept shooting down his ideas.
So he got pissed,
so he just turned around and started talking out of his ass.
That is correct. So I thought that was pretty interesting. this one I thought was kind of funny. So during the sex scene with Courtney Cox, all the animals in the room, they had to chain them down because otherwise they wouldn't sit still. But a couple of the animals, including the monkey, they get out of there and they get loose. And Courtney Cox didn't like it because they'd be on the bed. And then she was like terrified of them, like
Found was funny that she's scared of the monkey, but then when she gets to friends, she has to have the monkey.
That's good. Look at that universe. You tied it all together, right? So,
do you ever hear The Lion Sleeps Tonight? The same?
No.
Do you try to time your headboard with the?
No. You got to have the good beat.
No music.
There's music, but there's no headboard.
I need to be able to concentrate.
I like making love to the night show.
You need to be able to concentrate.
Rob's got In the Jungle.
No music. So, too much.
He's even got a bird in the corner bobbing his head.
Ace Ventura has officially made In the Jungle, a booty jam. Officially.
Whoa.
That's officially a booty jam.
It's a booty jam, making love.
That's a thing. Because they weren't really in love. They're just, you know.
Hey, they went 3 times.
They did. Well, they went four times.
And then he rested. Then he was ready to go 30
seconds. And he was ready to go. So I saw in 2008, Empire Magazine named Ace Ventura the 59th greatest movie character of all time. But that same year, a UK website polled 5,000 people. That doesn't feel like a lot of people anyway. but they voted him the 4th most annoying movie character of all time.
That goes along with you either love him or you hate it.
Yeah, but those 5,000 people in the UK can go sit on a rock, I guess. So I don't know what they're doing. So pictures of Ray Finkel are actually Sean Young in a wig and a fake mustache. So she just donned those. And it's funny, I never noticed it before, but once I read it and then I watched it again, I'm like, that makes sense. So I also saw which we saw when we rewatched it, when they kicked the ball. In the
actual
kicker from the Miami Dolphins.
Was it Pete Stoyanovich or whatever?
Yep. So when you go from the back, my son Connor was like, you can totally tell he's like a foot taller and his shoulders are like 8 times bigger than the actress's was. So
I read that said it. He hit the target every time.
Every time, right through the hole.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah. What's the line if there's a hole?
You gotta fill it.
You got a hole, you gotta fill it.
So you know what one thing I found interesting, and it alludes to your Truman Show and all that. So he's a goofball in this movie, over the top, everything's crazy. But there are two actual like serious acting moments that I wonder if when they saw those parts, that's where they got the idea that he could be something different than the crazy, right? Because when he insults her outside, when he asks her,
and he's, you know, trying to come in to apologize, yeah,
what do you feed your dog? And he calls her fatty and all that. And then when he walks in, he goes, Melissa, I was just, before she tells him Pedactor's dead. Yeah. He has a dead serious face. He's not doing a voice. And then the other time he does that is when he's telling the story about the dog, when he would have nightmares when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. That's a dead serious. He's not doing his voice. He's not being squirky until he screams at her. Yeah. But before that, everything is very, so there's that maybe a glimpse where a director could look at that and go, oh, he doesn't have to be a goofball the entire time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, and I'd read that when Jim Carrey got a hold of the script, he rewrote it. I mean, and when you see in the credits, it says the screenplay was Jim Carrey's listed as one of the writers.
Yep, I said that.
again, already mentioned. Are you even here today?
So I mean, anyway, I can send you my notes. So anyway,
oh my goodness.
Carry on.
You know what? He doesn't like you keep reminding him that you already said it because he crossed his arms. Very confrontational.
I'm apologizing. That's right. I love you, Robert. Yep.
I love you too.
I'm a Robster.
Love you too.
We are all Robsters here. Yep. All right. Curto is on board with the Robsters.
That's right. Curto's plus Robsters.
Curto's plus Robsters. It is our mob.
There you go.
It's our goodie mob, Rob.
There you go.
All right. So we have some questions. I have a little area here. I say questions about moments in the movie or possible plot holes. Not that there would be any plot holes. And I want to stress before I say any of this, I love this movie. I will watch it all the time. I still laugh at it. But the longer I watch it, a couple things stick out that, you know, a good rewrite by Jim Carrey, but maybe a few weird plot holes that don't make a lot of sense. So I just want to start with the one. So when he figures out Einhorn's a man, you have this crying game scene. Mm-hmm. Do we think that scene aged well?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Why do we not think it aged well?
It's very homophobic.
It's a little transphobic.
Yeah, transphobic. You
know. He could have been put off by it, but I think the burning of the clothes and the plunger to the face,
yeah,
a little over the top.
Right? And when it first came out, I heard that he had said that he tried to go as completely over the top as possible so it wouldn't be believable.
True.
Type of thing, but yeah, just
I think that's what
his intention was.
Yeah, I think what contributes to that 57% audience as it's accrued over the years is some of that, because people watch and get a little put off at that part, right? And at the end, that might not have aged well either, because he rips her clothes off. He's kind of assaulting her in front of all
very
the cops.
Much so.
You know, he's pulling her hair, he's ripping her shirt open, tore her pants or skirt off in front of everyone. So there's a minor sexual assault there.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
So. And I heard in the original script, it wasn't supposed to be Einhorn wasn't supposed to be Finkel. Einhorn was supposed to be Finkel's sister.
Oh, that would have. Oh,
but the director went the other way with it.
I gotcha. That could have made sense. Like maybe Finkel
disappeared and now sister's mad.
And his sister's exacting the revenge for him. Yeah, that could have been okay. So,
true.
Now, I wrote plot holes are tough to come by because of how funny this movie is, but they're not that tough.
I found one. So, where he's trying to figure out, he goes, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
When he does the Finkel. I counted the coaches in the, there's 20 coaches in the new picture, but there was only 17 in the first picture. Nice. So there's automatically three other people he didn't know about.
The other thing about that scene is,
and so many other people would have.
He looks at that picture for a half a second. It's really small across the room. And he goes, who the hell is that?
I'm like, well, he's very good at his job.
So,
but I want to know, there's obviously other people that have the rings, because the one dude from the party had the ring. So there's obviously people picture that have the rings. Yeah.
So here's the plot hole of the rings. I'm just going to throw this out here. That happened in 1984.
It's only 8 years.
This is 1994. That is a 10-year window. Every single person in that picture,
still
players,
live in Miami.
Coaches, they're all in Miami. Mm-hmm. And every day when they go out, they wear their ring.
Yes.
No matter what. Like, that's not in a case. No. You know, some of those guys got poor. They sold it like OJ did with all his crap. I mean,
by the way, nobody wears an AFC championship ring. No, they put that away because if they wear that, it means they lost the Super Bowl.
But I'm saying everyone is still in Miami. Every player, everybody. I'm like, I found that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny, but I find that a little implausible that just everyone's around. And how did he get in that mailbox?
He's got a key.
At least in the other one, he could get out the rhino's anus in part two, but there's no anus in the mailbox. I don't know how he's getting out.
Sure, there's a hatch.
There's got to be a hatch.
Your mother-in-law was a male person.
She was.
You got any plot holes, Rob? Because I got
no
more
plot holes.
Okay.
This movie stands up. I think
the animal totally scenario
totally stands up.
Just as a gee whiz, the animal situation. There's no way that apartment doesn't stink from high hell. Where are these animals all going to the bathroom?
Yeah, that part was not shown. No. They have their own little hiding house, hiding spaces, but they don't have where are they?
Those birds would have been crapping all over the place. And by the way, he's got like 10 dogs. Those dogs have to be walked. Where are they going to the bathroom? So when how's he going to walk those 10 dogs without Mr. Shickadance noticing he's walking? What is he? Oh, I'm just babysitting them. Or, oh, I just found them. There's no way he can get those dogs outside to go to the bathroom multiple times a day.
That's why there was the big giant pile of the palm ferns.
Yeah.
Because he had to do it every time he walked by his
Do you think he walked by the palm fern with 10 dogs on a leash and they were like, Mr. Shickadance, just like,
oh, Ventura, hey, have a good walk.
That's right.
I don't know about that one. All right. But there's no way that apartment doesn't smell. I'm sorry. And when Melissa comes over, the first thing she would walk in is go, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, what is the smell that I'm smelling? He has a skunk. All right. It's in the laundry. You know, he's got raccoons, skunks. He's got, it's not just dogs and cats we have in there.
Yeah. He had the smelly things removed.
He did.
The smelly things.
And is he able to put anything in his freezer once you put a dog door on the front of that thing?
Yeah.
I don't think it's keeping anything as cold as it needs to be anymore.
I did read that the penguins that they have are like penguins that don't need to be cold. They're tropical penguins. Oh, okay.
Well, that's nice of them.
But he still got it. They're usually the cheaper ones.
It's nice that they paid attention to detail there.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I have another one. The parents, Ray Finkel's parents' house. This is 8 to 10 years later. They haven't repainted. They haven't moved. Nothing. They just keep living in the destroyed house the whole time.
Yes.
It's been like 8, 10 years. Like, get a new house. Mm-hmm. Like, paint. All you have to do is paint.
Just paint.
Like, all the mule stuff still on the side. Ray Stinkle. All that stuff is still there, and they're just living in it. I mean, I know she's a little batshit crazy, but.
Yeah, that's what my wife was wondering. There's no sheetrock. There's no nothing. Yeah.
I like how
they made no attempt to fix our house.
Because their budget was so bad, they had to just go find a house. So they found a house that was ravaged by a hurricane and just used that one.
Ah. So. Well, this is probably the biggest plot question I have. So the whole plan is we kidnap Snowflake, then we kidnap Dan Marino to upset the Super Bowl situation.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we kidnapping Snowflake? What purpose does Snowflake really serve?
Because they taught it to kick field goals and gave it Ray Finkel's number.
No player cares.
Very angry.
Look, no player cares if Snowflake's at halftime kicking field goals.
But Ray Finkel did.
That thing at the beginning where he's like, he goes, these are superstitious players. You got, Jockey, what's he say?
Jockey strap.
Jockey strap.
Or jockey shorts. High school. Filleted and fried for all I care. You know, that guy is like, if the team can't win, if Snowflake's not there, I highly doubt that. Like the Seahawks wouldn't win the Super Bowl if Blitz didn't show up, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But if Dan Marino's not there, that really has an effect on the game, right? So why even kidnap Snowflake in the first place? That seems like a lot of work to transport, keep alive, all these things, just to screw up the Super Bowl. And the whole plot was conceived at the mental institution, right? So Ray Finkel at the time conceives this plot. I'm going to become a lady. I'm going to join the police force. 8 years later, I'm going to be a lieutenant, which, by the way, I looked that up. That gap of time
is not
supportive of that situation.
Not good.
She moved up the ranks way too fast. Mm-hmm. So she becomes a cop, and then she basically waits for them to get to the Super Bowl. What if they didn't get to the Super Bowl again for like 20 years? She's just going to keep being a cop until they make the Super Bowl. A lot of things had to break in her direction for this plan to even work.
Because in real life, she'd still be waiting.
And the other problem with Snowflake is this. She knows Ace Ventura. She knows he's pretty much more capable than every detective he has or she has.
Mm-hmm.
She kidnaps Snowflake. That gets him into the game. If she never kidnaps Snowflake and just takes Dan Marino, Ace Ventura never shows up. He doesn't cause any problems. Okay. He doesn't solve the case because Aguado's not solving the case.
Aguado's going to get a sandwich.
Just a bargaining chip.
Who's the bargaining chip?
The dolphin. Yeah.
There was really no reason for the plan to involve Snowflake. That's all I'm saying. So, my last question is, how do you think Carrie and Tone Loc know each other? And my theory is this. Also, why do the cops know Jim Carrey so well? In normal circles of a day, they're not going to care if a dog or cat's going missing and Jim Carrey's looking it up. But he walks in and out of the police station like he owns the place. Everyone knows his name. They don't care. He's just walking around.
Yeah.
He walks into crime scenes. He does whatever he wants, and none of the cops care. They're just like, oh, Ace Ventura's here. I think there was a time maybe he was a cop, and then he started taking on cases like cats and dogs and these, and they were getting mad because he was focusing on that and not actual murders, robberies. Mm-hmm. And so he left the force to do the pet detective thing, and that's how him and Tone Loc are friends.
He just don't do humans.
Maybe they went to high school together. I don't know. I just wonder how they're friends.
There's a lot of theft of animals.
And why does Einhorn know him so well? Why does Aguado know him so well?
No, I think that tracks. You know, he's probably a police dropout. He's a police academy dropout. Yeah,
he tried it and it didn't work.
Well, Melissa says, why didn't you ever become a cop? And he says, I don't do humans.
I don't do humans. Yeah. So that again puts me to the situation where he's just walking into the police station and no one cares.
Apparently there's a lot of animal theft in Miami. So they work together a lot.
He gets a lot of work. So, and by the way, if that albino pigeon's going to field him 25 grand, when I get Snowflake back, that NFL team's paying me about $50,000 and I saved the Super Bowl.
Yeah and I brought Dan Marino back.
Not only did they get Snowflake back, they got him back in time to do the halftime show.
Yeah.
And the dolphin didn't care. No trauma inflicted by that dolphin.
That's right.
So
the dolphin's probably mad because he was actually in the actual water of the bay, and now he's got to be back in.
Would he been okay in that water? Was he good in the water he was in? I don't know what kind of water the dolphins have.
Usually, I think they have to be. They're usually in salt water,
The porpoise dolphin.
It's not a porpoise.
Just the transportation. They just transport him in a hammock or something.
They just got to keep him moist for a little while, like my mouth.
Comes back to your mouth.
So had Kurt been along, you could have licked the dolphin on the way to
You could have
to the
enough
place.
Saliva to keep.
That's right. I don't think you understand the wetness of his mouth.
I don't want to
the
understand
absolute
the wetness.
Moistness is essential to this situation. So
I really don't want.
Well, you guys got anything else? Any other interesting things? Rob, you're very nothing today over there.
I have nothing.
He's got
what is going on with you today?
I think he's angry with us now.
I think he is. I think
an angry,
when you told him,
angry elf.
Yeah, when you repeated that you said those things, he's like a Vince Vaughn in Four Christmases. I've shut down. I'm just going to relax for a minute, and I'm going to rethink what I'm doing.
There you go.
Before I get back into it.
So. There you go.
But we would like you to participate, and our friends at home would like you to participate.
I am here.
All right, well, we're ready to jump in and check out our favorite parts of the movie. So let's hit some categories.
Get to the categories!
All right, well, our first category, it's always our first category, favorite quote or short dialogue from the movie. And since you don't want to say anything today, Rob, we're going to start with you.
No, you can.
And let you introduce. Nope, you don't get to pick and choose here. So you're up first.
Nice. My favorite quote is the scene early on where he's in Melissa's office for the first time and he's eating sunflower seeds.
Yes.
And she offers him an ashtray and he says, she says, do you want an ashtray? And he says, no, I don't smoke. It's a disgusting habit.
That is funny.
Seeds all in his teeth.
I for a lot of reasons, I find that very funny. I think it's really good writing and it's humorous and he's got the sunflowers in his teeth and it's super good.
So. I really like in that scene too, when he's watching Snowflake, his facial expressions are really good. Mm-hmm. Like he's really funny when he smiles and he's like, oh, that's nice that he can kick a football. Right. So I don't know if he's humoring it or thinks it's dumb or what, but his facial expressions are really good. So, that's really good, Rob. What do you got?
I like that one.
All right. I got when Ace goes to see his buddy Greg.
Love it.
To check up on the aquatic supply sales.
Mr. Two Glasses.
That's right. At first, I just love the little dance he does when he comes in listening to Cannibal Corpse.
Yes, Cannibal Corpse.
But for some reason, I love the little dialogue where it's, what's the password?
I love
New England clam chowder. Is that the red or the white? I can never remember that. White. Yes. I never understood that. I thought New England clam chowder came in two colors, white or red. It does not.
It does not.
The question was, does New England clam chowder basically, is it white or is it red? It is white because red is Manhattan. Clam chowder.
Oh, it's a trick question.
Yes.
So what I also like about that is when he gets inside and he says, that's fine. I hope you're having a lovely day. And he goes, don't you? And he goes, do you? Don't I? Yeah. I don't know why that's funny. It's just funny.
I had that as my opening if you were going to ask me how I was doing.
Gotcha.
It was going to be, I'm super. Thank you for asking. I hope you're having a lovely day.
Did I not ask you how you were doing?
No, you just said Kurt's here.
I'm terrible. That's
so I had to go with choice number two.
I got you.
And that's you're really friendly around here.
I gotcha.
So sometimes I always got to do, I got to double up.
Well, I have two quotes. There's a million quotes. I would say this movie is a quote.
Yeah.
Like every scene is four quotes you could use.
Yeah.
But I picked two and they tied because they had to tie. I literally use these quotes.
Like you today.
Yeah, I know.
They're going with ties.
I use these quotes. I've used them every day of my life until now. I still use them today. And so the first one is, and I've said it to people who work for me, I've said it to others just to be funny, but when he's getting into the tank And he tells him, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.
Just wait longer.
I love that.
Yes.
I say it to people. A couple of years ago, people understood it more. But as my workers that I work for me have gotten younger, they kind of give me a weird look. Like, I don't think they understand what's going on there. But it's a tie. But actually, my first quote has a little bit of a lead because I literally say this all the time still. And it's when he is in the police station, he's talking to Tone Loc. And he's asking about the investigation. And after he tells him everything they've done, he goes, nothing, Nathan, nada. I say that to people all the time. And until that movie, I don't know if Nathan was a word people used for nothing, but it has become a word. People use that now. And I don't know if it invented that. I don't know if Nathan was used a lot before that, but I never equated Nathan to being nothing until I saw this movie. And so nothing, Nathan, nada. I don't know. It's always been funny. I say it to people. I do it all the time, and I love that quote. I don't know why. But
that's the same for me in New England clam chowder.
Yeah.
If somebody's asking me for a password.
Yeah. What's the password?
I'll always say New England clam chowder.
So, couple others.
Same thing, you get looks. I was going to say, I don't know what that means.
My favorite non-Ace Ventura is Mrs. Finkel.
Oh, nice.
It was all that Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had held the ball laces out like he was supposed to, Ray would have never missed the kick. Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Would you like a cookie, son?
They're
little footballs.
Yes, laces out. I also like her quote when they go into his room. She goes, what is sports now,
Knives inside Dan Marino. Ripped up.
She's so oblivious. It's hilarious. Yeah, so
I'm in Psychoville. And Finkel's the mayor.
I've got and you're ugly. That was pretty good. It's just for no reason.
Yeah, saddlebags.
I like when he's in Ironhorn's office and she said, when I come out of the bathroom, you better not be here. He goes, number one or number two? I just want to know how much time I have. I'd like to ask. I think we got that one. I came to confess I was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. I think it's funny. A lot of kids nowadays probably won't know
what that means. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. And then, the guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. That's a pretty good one. So,
come to me, jungle friends. That's another one I say often. I used to say it to my kids.
And like, none of us had it.
Come up to the carpet.
Really good is the yes, Satan.
Yeah.
When he says,
I have that. Yes, Satan. Oh, I thought you were someone else.
I thought you were someone else. I think that's really good. Mr. Shiki Dance is an underrated character.
Yeah.
So he does a good job. So, well, we could quote that thing all day, but all what are you going to do? So,
but we are not.
That takes us to category two, which is what, Kurt?
That would be the favorite scene or event.
Nice. You want to kick it off since you introduced it?
I can kick it.
You kick it.
All righty. So I'm going to go with the favorite event would be just him going to the party, to Ron Camp's party.
Oh, nice.
From the entrance where he's talking to the butler. Hey, Captain Steuben.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And everything else. Walking through the party, the random pull of the bowstring for the guy playing the cello.
Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand him picking on the rich people. What would the cello player do? Like, there was no reason to assault the cello player.
Yeah, and I was watching the movie yesterday with the director's commentary.
Yeah.
And as he did that, he goes, I don't know why he did that. It was just Jim being Jim.
Yeah, I have that in my notes that was completely improvised.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny.
All the way to the coming out of the bathroom, the do not go in there, but then the opening of the jacket squirting the pocket that's full of water.
Well, it's not even that. The genius part to me of that scene, when he jumps out the window that's not high.
The Mission Impossible spoof.
And then for no reason, he's on the other side of of the fence.
The railing.
And then he swings on the all of that's awesome because he doesn't need that's to do funny. Anything. Just walk to the door. But no, he creates it and no one's watching. I mean, he's just out there, but it's hilarious because he can't do anything simple.
He slams the door.
Slams the door, yeah. I love that part. So, all right, Rob, what do you have?
Mine is the Shady Acres Mental Institution.
Oh, such a good one.
I think there's a lot of things there. Specifically, though, the super slow-mo and the instant replay.
I think that
is comedy.
Gold. Comedy gold.
I think it's brilliant.
Well,
I think the way he does it and he it looks like he's actually going in reverse, it's also. I think that kind of highlighted his talent.
Well, I like the timing of like when Melissa and the doctor are walking through the courtyard.
Oh, yeah,
and he's running back and forth, and they time it perfectly.
I will say I don't know if he did that for real or what's going on, but when he slams his head into that seat,
that looks like it hurts.
It's no joke. Yeah.
No, they really he really did that and surprised everybody. They turned it up a little bit when they actually played it on the. on the movie itself, but that's him actually slamming his head into it. Yeah. It's just kind of like rough. In Liar Liar when he throws himself on the bathroom floor after kicking his own ass and his head hits the floor. That's really his head hitting the floor.
There is a mental, at the mental institution, there is a editing goof. So when he's in the box, when he thinks people are coming in, when it breaks, three sides of the box break. But when they do the long shot right after that, only one side is broken, and it was the side that wasn't broken on the original shot. So it's just a little interesting thing. So
but that's another scene, too, where the whole put me in, coach. I'll say that all the time.
Put me in, coach.
Yeah.
It's all psychological.
It's all psychological. that's hilarious.
That. Say it often.
Well, so if you're going with the theatrical release, I agree with you, Rob. The Mental Institution is my favorite.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
But the VHS version and some other DVD versions
that you can get. That was actually my pick, but I didn't do it.
Is the Heinz-Kitz Velvet scene. So when he comes out of the tank, when all the reporters are asking, and I think we found out that the Hound has not seen the scene. So we need to show it to him.
Not for a very long time.
Yeah. So, but when he
I always forget that it's only on the VHS.
It's only on the VHS, And so when he comes out of that tank and he says, Heinz-Kitz Velvet, trader of Dolphin. He says, you want to talk to the Dolphin? You talk to me. My favorite part, and I laugh every time, is when he goes, 7 years, and he puts up a 5. It's just hilarious. And the thing when he says, why do you care about the Dolphin? Do you know him? Does he call you at home? Do you have a dolphin?
And then when he goes, you must get inside the dolphin.
Okay, now it's all coming back as you're doing it.
I am saying to Snowflake, okay, and he is saying, okay.
And he's up on the and you could quote him. So to me, that is the funniest. To me, that's
go to the conference.
That is funny. The whole tank scene is funny when he's doing the Star Trek impersonations, all that. But the Heinz-Kitz Velvet,
I've think. Got to, Mister.
For God's sakes,
the tank scene. I was watching it yesterday and picked out that every time they switch like a camera angle, the weather is completely different in the background. It's either like overcast gray getting ready to rain or it's bright and sunny.
Well, sometimes the background stuff in this is a little rough. Those players that are supposed to be NFL players for the Super Bowl, those are horrible looking football players. Like they're just extras they found hanging around Miami or something. None of them look athletic. They're all just awful. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I'm sure they were real offensive linemen.
All right. Well, that takes us to category 3. Rob's favorite. Best location in the movie. So you get to start us off, Rob.
Oh, it's my favorite, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to do kind of yours was, but the location I thought was cocktail party.
Oh,
for all the reasons we talked about. The greeting at the front door, his little dance and head bob as he's going through the crowd.
I love that.
his fake laugh, that whole interaction where he's the lawyer and he's, you know.
Tom Ace.
And how's everyone feeling tonight?
I love that.
I think it was the pate.
This is very well. Thank you.
The hors d'oeuvres. I think it's the pate. Yeah, the Mission Impossible thing.
The whole cocktail party is funny. The pate bar, he doesn't have to do. He says, where's the bathroom? He tells him, that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. But no. And then he has to even go, the whole. I don't know what he's trying to sell there, but so that's great. That's good. Yeah, the cocktail party is great. So I'll go second. I have Ray Finkel's house. Ooh. I kind of like delving into the mind of a madman. So I like that this place is just dilapidated. The dad's still living there, knowing his wife's a cuckoo bird.
He's just living with it.
Yeah. And I like seeing where maybe we figure out where his psychosis comes from, because his mom's
not all there.
Straight up gone at this point. So, you know, she's the mom that her son could never do anything wrong.
No one's behind the wheel. What does he say?
Yeah. He says the engine's running, but nobody's behind the wheel. So. But he's living with her.
Yeah.
No problem. When she comes out and grabs the gun, put the gun down. He's a fan of our son.
I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
And then the sports nut gets me every time. Yeah. Such a sports nut, huh? I will never not laugh at that part.
So. Little footballs.
All right, what do you got, Kurt?
All right, mine, I feel like me and Rob are just switching from category 2 to 3, because I went with Shady Acres.
You guys like to do the switcheroo.
That's right. Sometimes you got to switch it.
Yeah, switch it up.
But I went with Shady Acres. It's got great gardens for taking leisurely walks.
Wow.
It's very peaceful. Arts and crafts in the courtyard. The patients get their own dorm rooms. And one little thing, Shady Acres was actually named for the director, Shady Ack.
Oh, nice.
So they just changed it to Shady Acres.
Perfect. That's a good nugget.
A little nugget.
Saved it. I like it. A little surprising. Rob had the surprised look on his face.
Ooh, he gave it the That's O.
Good. Always, yeah.
He gave it the O face. A little Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah.
Always surprised.
All right. Well, that takes us to category four, right, Rob?
That's where we're at, and, category and four.
What is that category?
Worst scene or not needed scene.
So my intent for this is worst, like if it's a worst constructed scene or just like things don't make sense, mm-hmm. or just the scene you think is in the movie, it's like, you got to cut that scene. Yep. You didn't need that. So I'll go first on this one.
Yep.
I haven't gone first yet. Do you want to let me go first, Rob?
You have no opinion. I have no opinion on it.
I encourage you to go first.
He's full of energy today, is he not?
He's got it.
He's got it. Okay. So I have.
You'd go first whether or not we said no.
If you would have said no, I would have let you go first. That's the kind of friend I am.
That's bullshit.
Nope. I don't believe that to be
true. I'm going with Rob. I call that bullshit. That is
utter bullshit.
It's a big pile.
Well, I've got that worst constructed scene or most unbelievable scene. Well, there's a lot of unbelievable scenes, but
they're all believable.
I would say. The apartment where the scene with the apartment when Roger Podactor has committed suicide or is killed. Okay? Uh-huh. I just want to point some things out. There are way too many cops in this crime scene. Like there are 10 detectives walking around. The forensics team is walking around. The lieutenant has showed up. There's also 6 that I counted clothed, like uniform wearing cops. Mm-hmm. There's at least 20 cops in here. Okay. The dog is still in the crime scene. Uh-huh. 2 witnesses are standing in the crime scene. Mm-hmm. Like they're just in the apartment.
And a pet detective.
And a pet detective just walks in and nobody says anything. they go out on the railing. He finds blood. Mm-hmm. The lieutenant does the blood with her finger. No glove on. Yeah, no glove. I had just that down. Does the finger. He's touching the glass door. So he's contaminating that. There is no chance. And why are all these people reporting to this at 10 o'clock at night? Why are all these cops there for one guy falling out a window? Like there's just too much police in this place. Tone Loke's there. Aguado's there. There's these random other cops. There are too many cops in this scene. There's too much going on. And the fact that he could just walk in and nobody even stopped him and didn't care.
It was a big deal. Roger Podactor.
Really? He's the operations manager for the Dolphins. I mean, is that front page news? I don't know.
It is.
Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week. That's right.
So for me, that's the scene that's not constructed well. There's just too much happening. It's funny, but how all that goes down is crazy. Just that scene, you're not getting any evidence out of that place. And one of the forensics, she's got a little caboodle. She's pulling things out.
Caboodle.
She's not wearing rubber gloves. I don't know what she's going to do, but she's not taking good evidence. I know that. So it kind of looks like the forensics team they used for the OJ stuff, right? Same forensics team. Ooh. Yeah, there you go.
Ouch.
So
different side of the country.
Dr. Fung or something was his name. All right. Well, what do you got, Kurt?
I went with a not needed scene, and that would just be the sex scene with Courtney Cox.
I agree.
It's doesn't do anything for the storyline. It's just there to throw a sex scene in there.
It is.
I think the movie could have kept going with them just being partners kind of going through it.
Yeah. When he does the part where he goes, I need you to commit me or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could have just transitioned to the mental institution after that. And it would have insinuated because you could see she's already flirting with him.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, but then you don't get that's never happened before.
Yeah. It was funny this morning as I was watching it, I watched that little scene and I picked up a little thing in Jim Carrey's voice. When he says, I'm sorry, he says, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Canadian comes out there on that one.
I thought I was watching Yoga Hosers. Yoga Hosers. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he says it a couple times.
Yeah. His sorry comes out pretty rough. Yeah. It's funny you say that because we were watching it and Connor goes, why is he saying sorry like that? Well, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
It came out pretty thick. I don't notice it anywhere else for other words, but sorry is a tough one.
Yeah. So yeah, when he says, I feel sorry for your dog, it comes out then too. Yeah.
Oh, all right, Rob. That means it's your turn.
No, wow.
Oh, we crossed the arms again. Watch out.
Oh, no.
So,
he hates it.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't like this category.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go with the crying game scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see why that doesn't hold well now.
Well, Jim Carrey's even admitted that it doesn't hold up.
But then I have an argument against it too, because I think it's a product of the times. And I mean, I try not to get, I have a different stance on that. I think just the idea of, the whole cancel culture thing is, I think, because then we look at some of the great movies that came out and.
Yeah, it's going to have moments.
You know,
I'm just saying, even in 1994, you could have had him figure that out and not do that part. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't. It didn't ever need to be. And I'll admit, I never thought that was the funniest part of the movie anyway. No. Like, you know, I think it's supposed to be. So, and by the way, him setting fire in that apartment, smoke alarms would have been going off everywhere. There's so much smoke coming out of that trash can. And so, and the amount of ammonia or whatever he put in that, that fire is going to go big. That's going to be a big fire.
Yeah, because they really make a big deal about it. You know, he's chewing the gum and then the whole police force throws up. And, they really kind of lay it on rather thick and... Yeah.
Well, even at the end when he finds Captain Winky and flips her around, and by the way, just the Captain Winky, Marino points him to it. There were also a lot of 30 cops behind her. No one else saw. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when he says she kidnapped Marino and Snowflake and she goes, no, he did it. Shoot him.
Marino's standing there.
Marino's right there. Marino goes, no, she kidnapped me.
They don't trust Marino.
She already admitted to me. Yeah. So I think he's got street cred in Miami. Yeah. I think the cops have been like, well, maybe we should look at this real quick. Or how about the fact that she's wearing a championship ring? Why does Einhorn have a championship ring on? Like, no one asked that question. And couldn't Ace just produce the article he found at Shady Acres that says Lieutenant... that the Einhorn died or has gone missing. Like, let's just introduce that real quick. Like, there were other ways to solve this problem than to show Captain Winky. That's all. So, and again, all those cops behind would have seen Captain Winky just as easy as Dan Marino did. And not one of them even flinch. And when he's punching her in the face over and over and she is still the lieutenant of the police, they don't go after him. He's not armed.
Yeah.
No one shoots him.
They
just stand
behind boxes.
They just stand there. Yeah, we're fine. We'll see what happens. Aguado's a terrible cop.
No, he's great.
It's just awful.
Aguado would never last in Miami. He's too big. He'd too be sweating too much.
It's rough, man. He needs to be in like Pittsburgh or something.
He's ready to pull his pension. And
Kurt pointed out a good thing. You see, you know, sometimes they'll unbutton the top buttons to get some air. Not Aguado.
The belly button button.
Yeah.
He's got
to
get that.
I'm having to unbutton farther down these days.
So. All right. Well, that takes us to category 5. Who you think might be the worst actor in this movie? Not everybody's trying to win an Oscar here, in my opinion. So, Rob, why don't you lead us off?
I'm going to go with Sean Young.
Nope. I am also with Sean Young. Damn. So, that is, I just think she's terrible.
Yeah.
Her delivery is bad. Yeah. Like that one time she tells a joke, she goes, "Who let Dr. Doolittle in?" No one laughs.
Yeah.
On the whole set, nobody laughed.
Well, even
and my, so I'm not sure what's going on, but she'll have these weird delays.
Yeah.
And it's like she tells a joke and she thinks it's a punchline, but then no one on set laughed. So she just kind of hangs out for a second. And just, I don't know, when she's getting beat up, she's having a seizure or she's in shock. Like she's shaking and I don't know what she's doing.
In the background. Yeah.
Yeah. What is going on there?
My wife said when we were watching it, she goes, even Dan Marino is a more natural actor.
She looks awkward the whole time. Yeah. Like every scene she's in. Sometimes she's yelling for no reason. Sometimes she's talking normal. I just don't know. And I don't think any of the cops would respect her or listen to her. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what's going on there. And apparently she's making out with the entire police force.
Apparently, yes.
Because they all spit afterwards. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. But yeah, she's doing a bad job. You're right, Rob. Yeah. Again, back to the auditions.
Yeah.
You know, the casting.
Who else did they?
Yeah, the casting person was like, oh, she's great. I think just maybe her name carried her over the line. I want to know who else auditioned that she beat out. Somebody bad, you know.
Unless she's doing a really great job.
She's purposely acting bad.
Well, that's she's trying to be Einhorn.
Finkel as Einhorn.
She's trying to be Finkel acting as a woman. And so she's she really was. She's method acting.
There are bad actors in this movie. Aguado, the guy playing Aguado is not a good actor. A couple of other supporting people aren't great actors, and they look like Oscar winners. Next,
the henchmen
to Sean Young.
Are great.
Oh, they're awful.
Who's great?
The tall henchman. The tall henchman in particular. Yeah. He's really good actor.
Where's the smelt?
Where's the security on that isotoner set too? They just ran out with Dan Marino, and everybody's like, "Oh, that's fine."
And I said cut.
I said cut. They just keep running, and they get in a car. And they drive away and no one cares.
Full pads.
All right. Well, we both had Sean Young, Lieutenant Einhorn, not doing a good job.
That's right. She was a close second. Ooh, I went with what was, I would consider an unprofessional actor of what I heard on set. And that would be because they refused to shoot a scene. That's the damn dolphin.
No.
They train the dolphin for multiple weeks and months to knock the gun out of Einhorn's hand. It came time to do it. The dolphin refused.
That's really good.
How are you going to blame the dolphin? It's a dolphin. It's not
its a professional
fault.
Actor.
Oh, my goodness. Name another movie that dolphin was in. Free Willy? Was it in Free Willy?
It was not, because Willy was a whale.
But there were other ocean animals flowing, or mammals floating around.
Well, that's it was in the Sea World.
It's good thinking.
Did you hear this?
I know. I purposely did it as a Rob pick.
That pick.
That's really why good. I'm a Robster.
It might not have as much validity as we thought then.
No. That's
really good. Really good. Yeah. I was half expecting Rob's favorite character to be the original lady, because if she doesn't tell Podactor and her about Einhorn. Ace Ventura,
the original Einhorn.
The secretary.
That got lost. Oh.
No, the secretary, where she goes, I hired a pet detective and he found my dog.
Because of the bitch.
Yeah. If it wasn't for her, Rob, they never would have hired him in the first place.
That's right.
So I thought Rob would tie that back.
I thought it would go to the original Einhorn.
Oh.
Because if she never got lost, Finkel never would have had a...
That's a great... That is also a great thing. If she doesn't get lost in the mountains in Colorado, then guess what? You have no movie.
There's a lot of ways you could go with this.
Yeah. Oh, look at him. Now the brain is turning.
Mm-hmm. He's back, folks.
How'd you miss these, by the way?
I was trying to play by the rules.
This is your bag, baby.
Trying to play by the rules.
Wrong movie.
First of all, our fans don't want you playing by the rules.
That's right.
Our recap show proved to me that they like...
The Robsters say there are no rules.
Yeah. A recap show proved to me that people like when you just wander off on your own. So
yeah.
Don't question your instincts, Rob.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that takes us to Category 6, our last category. We're going to do a recast. If Ace Ventura wasn't in this, and some of the names they mentioned, which I don't think work, but who would you have cast in this if it wasn't going to be Jim Carrey back in 1994? And we'll start with Kurt.
Oh, you're going to start with me?
Yeah.
I simply said no one.
Oh, nice. There's no one else.
I don't think it's on the same page.
The way it's written. Yes.
I don't think anybody could play the same part and do the jokes along with the physical at the same time.
Gotcha. Well, then I'll hog this.
You can hog away.
Category. I have a couple ideas.
Okay.
I have one really.
Let me shoot them down.
I have one really good idea, but I have two possibles. So I think Eddie Murphy a little. If you look at like Bowfinger, Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Professor, where he's playing multiple parts, he can impersonate things. He can be a little hammy at times. So Eddie Murphy, maybe.
I think he can impersonate and do other parts. I don't think he can do the physical.
Good. So we'll say not him. Another choice I thought would be interesting, Keanu Reeves. I think if you give me Ted Theodore Logan Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Already there. I think that could be okay. But my top choice, and I think Rob is actually going to like this. I'm surprised he didn't think of it. My absolute obvious choice to me in 1994, Dana Carvey. I think if you take Dana Carvey from Saturday Night Live, and if you look at his movie where he's like, turtle, am I turtly enough for the Turtle Club? His little weird stuff. He could have also done some of this weirdness.
I do like that.
I think. If I was to recast it, I think Dana Carvey could give you a version of Ace.
Yeah.
That's kind of close to what Jim Carrey's doing.
I agree. I agree with that.
So, because he's a little off the wall too.
He is.
And I'm sure he'd have worked in his versions of Church Lady, Hans and Franz.
There definitely would have been in that special.
Yeah. And he can do some of the physical because he did that on Saturday Night Live.
And there's an improv element of this character. It requires some improv. And he's...
Yeah, he can do that.
Dana can riff, you know, he just...
So I would have gone Dana Carvey.
That's good.
Jim's not available, you know, In Living Color was too much, you know, or he's busy on Dumb and Dumber, whatever it was, then I think Dana Carvey would have been.
Yeah.
But you two... Nothing. I like it.
Yeah, I put nobody. I think for me, this is one of those movies of my generation where I think it would be almost sacrilege to consider somebody for this role.
I gotcha. Well, I like, that's a bold stance, Rob.
Sacrilege.
Yeah. So no remake for Rob.
No remake.
Well, that tells us the answer to this, but final judgment there, reviewers. Is this still as good as you remember? Is it an all-time classic or just an okay movie after rewatching? And is it a must watch, or if it's on TV, I'll catch it once in a while?
I'm going to go with all-time classic, must watch.
Nice.
With the caveat knowing there's parts that don't sit well, but you can still explain those.
It was 1994.
Yep.
That's what you always tell me. It was the 90s.
Usually it's the 80s.
It was the 80s.
The 90s should be a little smarter, but.
They should be.
Not so much.
I did want to throw in a plug real quick before Rob gives his. When he pulls her shirt open, because we're a New York boobs podcast here. Whoever the doctor for Finkel was.
Very natural looking.
Should just be given everyone in the country, every woman that wants an enhancement, enlargement, whatever, should be at that doctor because those are spectacular. whatever work he did on Ray Finkel, and I don't know what Ray looked like before, but they came out well. Those are a great pair of New York
They're a great pair.
Absolutely.
And what do you say? That can be done over the weekend.
Can be done over the weekend. They were real and they were spectacular. Anyway. Yeah. Looks so, good. Rob, that what is your final judgment?
I think it's an all-time classic.
Nice. So,
yep. Well, hands down.
We'll make it a menage a trois of classic.
Yeah. Ooh, classical.
So,
with the caveat, like you said, that I think it's a product of its time.
Yeah.
So the 90s were different. Yes. And, you know, generational, what people think is funny is different. And it changes. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. If you made it today, the crying game scene doesn't make it into
that. Well, I mean, I just listed a couple movies just, you know, growing up that I, you know, Airplane.
Oh, yeah. Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Even the Rush Hour franchise, you know, how many...
Oh, yeah.
How many racial slurs and jokes about...
You could just go with the, do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
I mean, there's a million things in that movie that aren't great, but
there's
at the time, everybody thought it was funny, and so it was...
You know, a movie we're going to review sometime in the near future, 16 Candles, go watch that movie, which we will.
Terrible.
There is a lot of things going on in that movie, but it's still a good movie, so you have to take it for a grain of salt, I guess.
Right.
So, but it is what it is. So, well, I think that covers everything you ever need to know about Ace Ventura. You guys got anything else?
Got nothing.
Nope. Kurtosism, good to go. Well, if you'd like to contact Rob and I, or perhaps Kurt, nobody contacts Kurt, but he would appreciate it. We always look forward to it. You can find us on all the social media sites. Where can they find us, Kurt?
Any of the social media sites.
Do you have just any said examples that. For anyone?
Maybe X.
Good.
Maybe Instagram. The Facebook,
Old people say. Good. Yeah.
You can even go on the YouTube.
We have it on the YouTube.
See our beautiful faces.
We put you on the spot there. I apologize, but good recovery.
You did good though.
He did good.
Thank you.
I'm
a trained professional.
On another episode, I put Rob on the spot. Didn't go quite as smooth, but he's learning.
Usually doesn't.
But we've provided all these links in the show notes. You can also just search Totally 80s and 90s Recall online. We pop up everywhere. And our website, Totally 80s and 90s Recall at podbean.com. We got lots of good stuff over there. So take a gander and you'll see something fun. I promise. We have a merch store if you want some t-shirts. We can talk about some chicken and rice. We can do some other things like that. Finally, feel free to email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com. Any of these stops, you can ask us questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello or ask Rob why he's so grumpy today. He'll answer and he'll tell you why. We look forward to all of it, and we look forward to talking with every one of our listeners. So you guys got any closing thoughts about anything?
I try not to think.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Rob, any other thoughts on moist mouths, on Ace Ventura, any of these things?
No, on none of those.
None of those.
Yeah. No, nothing.
It smells like eggs all of a sudden in the studio. I just thought I'd throw that in there, but that's okay. we'll just pretend it's eggs.
We'll pretend.
All right. Somebody's having an egg salad sandwich. I think Kip's eating an egg salad sandwich in the booth. All right. So, Snowflake's back in the tank Ace is beating up the Eagles mascot for some reason, which means we're at the end of this yummy episode. We hope you've enjoyed our look back at the 1994 comedy classic, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. We'd like to thank all of you listeners, whether first timers or longtime fans of the show, for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so of some laughs and great memories. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every when?
Tuesday.
Very good. He was much faster than you on that. You have so much more experience.
I'm going to let him have it.
That's all right.
No, I don't want it.
You looked in his direction. You can have it.
See?
He made eye contact with me.
You can have it.
My mouth was moister than yours, so I was ready to go.
He was. So much animosity today.
I don't know. We need to. There's probably a moisture meter.
I think this is our first. Moisture.
What's the dew point in my mouth?
That's right. There's got to be a thing
Rob Grumpy episode. I don't know what's going on today. It's just
I don't think that's true.
It's not working.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Well, Rob, got any questions? You got anything else you want to know?
Well, I'm gonna go with the question.
Oh.
Rob asks for homework.
He loves.
What is the homework for next time?
You're just so literal all the time. All right. So the homework for next time is Rob and I are going to look at another 3-year window, 1987 to 1989, and we're going to look at the not so greatest hits of those 3 years. So Rob and I will do a little research and find some songs that we may not think are as good or should not be listened to.
87 to 89. Okay.
No, you got a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a lot of music to dig through.
You love doing it, though.
I do love doing it.
Yeah. We're going to get some deep dives, folks. We'll get some good information, and I promise he's going to come with some stinkers. Maybe they'll smell like the eggs that Kip's eating in the studio.
So there you go.
Well, Rob, you got anything else?
I have nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbyes.
None. I think the moist mouth upset him from the start.
I think it did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then you yelling at him a couple times.
I did not yell.
He's like,
I said it quietly.
It's his show. Don't yell at him.